This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Why don't you come up and see me sometime is Mae West's most quoted catchphrase. It's a good example of the sexual innuendo that helped make her a camp icon. And as her biographer Emily Leiter points out, West's persona also speaks to contemporary interest in transgressiveness and gender bending. Leiter's new book, Becoming Mae West, follows West's career through 1938. The biography offers fascinating glimpses into changing ideas about female beauty, sexuality, and censorship. West's career took her from vaudeville to Broadway to Hollywood, where she became most famous for her films She Done Him Wrong, I'm No Angel, and My Little Chickadee. Here's a scene from I'm No Angel, which she wrote and starred in opposite Cary Grant.
Hello, honey.
Evening, Miss Tara.
If anyone should call, I'm indisposed.
Yes, ma'am.
You know what I mean, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Come here, dear. I haven't had you alone all evening with all those people.
Well, my public.
Let me take a good look at you. You were wonderful tonight.
I'm always wonderful at night.
Yes, but tonight you were especially good.
Well, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
I asked Emily Leiter to describe Mae West's stage and screen persona.
Sex was number one on her agenda. Although, particularly on film, she liked to be suggestive rather than out and out lewd. In her earlier days, however, she settled for out and out lewd. And to some extent, the suggestive part was a compromise with reality, since censors were telling her a lot about what she couldn't say and do. But being suggestive suited her best because her wit is verbal. And it's really funnier to hint than to swear.
What did she do on stage that was lewd for its time?
Well, she danced very provocatively. She did what one historian of jazz called vernacular hip movements. And she got into a lot of trouble for doing what was called the cooch in a very provocative way. She liked décolletage. She liked to show her body. She liked to flaunt her body, which was not what most people would consider a conventionally beautiful body. But she was busty, she was hippie, and she loved her body, which is a big part of Mae West. She really thought she was great, and I think that's one of her main messages. Women, it's okay to like sex, it's okay to like your body, and it's okay to be sexually aggressive.
Was she very sexually active and very sexually aggressive in real life, off the stage, off the screen?
Yes. She was very much like the traditional male in her sexual role, in that she was not interested, by and large, in emotional involvement. She was interested in one-night stands. She was interested in trying as many partners as she possibly could. And she was interested in being in control. And she did know this. She said, I'm just like a man in my sexuality.
Mae West's story kind of interconnects with the story of several gangsters. You say that she was very fascinated with gangsters and with a certain kind of brutal man?
Yes. She would go to a gym and pick out the guy with the best body and the biggest muscles. She went to the fights several times a week her entire adult life. She loved the boxing ring and she loved fighters. And she had some boyfriends who were gangsters. And she always said they were perfect gentlemen. She was attracted to power, and she was attracted to illicit power. And others have called her a female gangster and likened her to Jimmy Cagney. She herself compared herself to Jimmy Cagney. She did like to play the person from the wrong side of the tracks.
She was once called the greatest female impersonator of all time. Do you think she had anything in common with the drag queens who she once performed with in her vaudeville days?
Very much so. She was influenced by drag queens. She wrote two plays which incorporated drag scenes. And she definitely was on a wavelength that has to do with campy gay male humor. So before she was imitated by female impersonators, she was taking a cue from gay male humor.
Did she feel any affinity with gay people?
It's a complex subject. She did, but she also had some negative feelings about homosexuality, particularly women who were gay. She came right out and said, "I don't like lesbians." She was completely intolerant of lesbians. Gay men were another story. She always had a rapport with them. But in the 20s, she wrote an article in which she said that she considered homosexuality a perversion. And she also referred to it as a disease that had to be cured. She was opposed, however, to sweeping it under the carpet and making it an unmentionable subject. And she certainly was opposed to making homosexuality a crime and involving the police and so on. She never had sympathy with that point of view.
My guest is Emily Leiter, and she's written a new biography of Mae West. Mae West started creating her stage persona in her vaudeville days. What was her vaudeville act like?
Well, she was a singer and dancer before she became a comedian. At times, she used a partner, although she found out in every instance that she preferred to be a soloist. She, at one time, did just a song and dance act. She began to write her own material and to find out that she could get laughs by not doing a hell of a lot. There's a wonderful description of her vaudeville act by a manager in the early 1910s who says she doesn't do much. She just stalls around the stage and talks about herself, yet people laugh. She learned to pace herself languorously in vaudeville, and that became a hallmark of Mae West's art. The kind of leisurely, sultry movement and delivery of lines, which became most famous on the screen, evolved in vaudeville.
From vaudeville, she went to theater, to Broadway. And a piece that she wrote for herself was called Sex, and I think that was that became the best-known and most successful of her theater pieces. Tell us something about Sex.
Well, Sex is a very raunchy play. It is not just suggestive. It is out-and-out dirty. She plays a prostitute in it. The play was calculated to cause a stir and, if possible, to get Mae West arrested, because in the 1920s, trials were theater. And Mae West knew very well, and so did her manager, James Timoney, that if she managed to be raided on Broadway and to go to jail, that she'd be the talk of the town and she'd become notorious and then a celebrity, which is exactly what happened. It's not a work of literature, but it's really a fascinating sociological document, and it's all about a young woman's rise to the top. She starts in a brothel, and she ends up in posh Westchester drawing rooms, and she ends up turning down a proposal by a socialite because she doesn't want to bring him down. But it's her decision. He wants to marry her, and indeed, in a Mae West vehicle, every man wants her and will do anything that she asks.
My guest is Emily Leiter, author of a new biography of Mae West. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Emily Leiter, author of a new biography of Mae West. Mae West also starred on Broadway in Diamond Lil, which I think really helped to solidify her persona.
Yes.
On stage.
Diamond Lil was a bigger hit, a more mainstream hit than Sex. And it ran for a long time, and it, even though the Hays office specifically had prohibited it from being made into a movie, it was made into a movie, She Done Him Wrong, which was a sensation.
Yeah, now the Hays office was the office that upholding the morality production code in Hollywood, the code that stipulated what you could and couldn't say or do in movies.
At
the time. And so they said to her, you are not allowed to make this show, Diamond Lil, into a movie. So how did they get around that and make the movie known as She Done Him Wrong?
Well, this was the Depression, and the studios were really hurting. And Paramount felt that they could make money with this movie, and really that's why the movie was made. Nobody was really going to crack down and say you cannot do this at a time when the box office was really hurting and the studios were in danger of going under. That's basically why. It had to do with making money.
For people who haven't seen She Done Him Wrong in a long time or who have never seen it, describe her character in it.
Well, she plays a floozy who lives over an 1890s New York bar and entertains there. She is kept by the owner of the bar, and he's into shady dealings. She is very much drawn to the Cary Grant character, Captain Cummings. He is a Salvation Army type who does good works down on the Bowery, and secretly she buys the Mission House so that it won't be taken away for lack of ability to pay the rent. So she is a floozy, but she's good-hearted, she's fun, she's an entertainer, and all men are smitten by her.
Why don't we hear a scene from She Done Him Wrong?
You know, I always did like a man in a uniform. That one fits you grand. Why don't you come up sometime, see me? I'm home every evening.
Yeah, but I'm busy every evening.
Busy? So what are you trying to do, insult me?
No, not at all. I'm just busy, that's all. You see, we're holding meetings in Jacobson's Hall every evening. Anytime you have a moment to spare, I'll be glad to have you drop in. You're more than welcome.
I heard you. But you ain't kidding me any. You know, I met your kind before. Why don't you come up sometime, huh?
Well, I...
Don't be afraid. I won't tell.
But...
Come up. I'll tell your fortune. Ah, you can be had.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Emily Leiter, the author of a new biography of Mae West. The Hays office got tougher on Mae West as the 30s progressed. Why?
The atmosphere changed. The economy was less desperate. And a new man, Joseph Breen, was put in control of the Production Code Administration. So it was a combination of factors. The mid-30s is really a very dark time in world history. Hitler has come to power. The world is getting ready for war and repression. And the United States fell in line with that. The permissiveness of the 1920s gave way on many fronts to a repressive atmosphere. And with Roosevelt, the idea of more controls became popular because nobody was doing too well without controls. The Hays office became empowered as an in-house censor that it was argued would be preferable to government censorship. but it was widely hinted that if Hollywood didn't clean its own house, that the government was going to intervene.
Mae West's attitude early on was, well, look, a censor can delete my words, but they can't really affect my manner, my tone, insinuation, the whole sexual personality. Did the censors, however, manage to change that too?
Yes, they effectively made it impossible for her to continue to play the character that she traditionally played. One of the rules of the code, for example, was that you couldn't have sex. You couldn't depict sex outside of marriage. Well, Mae West never played a wife, and she couldn't see herself playing a wife. So right there, she came up against a brick wall. You were not allowed to show sex in anything but a marital relationship. So that was you weren't supposed to show prostitutes. Well, Mae West always played a prostitute or a floozy or a woman of loose morals. So the givens were taken away from her because she always played a certain kind of a woman in a certain kind of relationship to men. And the Hayes office, when it cracked down after 1934, wouldn't let her be who she was.
Mae West made her movies in the 1930s with Paramount. Paramount dropped her, I think it was in 1938. Why did they drop her?
Well, she was becoming old news, and she was getting into too much trouble, and it no longer was paying off. Everything was always about the bottom line. And if you were controversial but were making money being controversial, then we love you. But if you're controversial and that's costing us, bye. So they just dumped her.
Your book mostly covers Mae West up until 1938. But in her later years, when she reached the age that the public usually does not see women as being particularly sexual. How did she deal with her sexual self?
Well, she didn't make any compromises with age. She continued to see herself as irresistible and rapacious sexually, and she refused to give that up. In some ways, I find that attractive, and in other ways, I find it pathetic. Because she actually would say, I look exactly the same in my 70s as I did in my 20s, and it's just not so. And I find it impoverished that she has to think of herself as a 26-year-old to give herself permission to continue to be sexual. What's wrong with being sexual when you look like a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old? Isn't that okay, too? She would say no. Her dependence on makeup and glitz, I find not attractive.
What figures in pop culture today do you think owe a debt to Mae West?
I would say there are several. Roseanne is one because Roseanne is tough-talking and working class and overweight. But Roseanne is always in a family situation, which Mae West never liked to play herself. She never liked to play a mother. Madonna, because she kids sex, because she is sexual, because she's outrageous, and because of her gay male following. But Madonna's always changing, and Mae West always stuck to the same formula. I think Bette Midler has a lot in common with Mae West as a personality. Her good humoredness, her larger than life quality, her campiness, and the fact that she's a singer, those all are similar to Mae West. And I think that all of those three performers that I named would acknowledge that Mae West is a model for them and a hero person.
Well, Emily Leiter, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It's been a pleasure.
Emily Leiter is the author of Becoming Mae West. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.